Chapter 12. AI Today. AI is now present in all areas of our lives. Education, science, industry, business, farming, healthcare, free time, the media, arts and beyond. In April 2019, scientists used AI to take the first ever pictures of a black hole, an area of space with such powerful energy that nothing can escape it. The incredible image was only possible through the advanced computer vision algorithms used to predict the missing parts of the picture. In 2018, researchers from tech company Nvidia showed fake pictures of people which looked totally real, developed by a new type of neural network, a generative adversarial network, which will be a key tool in future virtual reality. And at the end of 2018, DeepMind researchers presented AlphaFold, a system to help treat serious medical conditions like Alzheimer's disease, using machine learning techniques to predict future signs of the disease. Money for healthcare was a problem in the 1980s, as it is now, so micin, discussed in Chapter 6, was followed by other mostly theoretical expert systems. Personal healthcare management has now become possible thanks to wearable devices, which check how fast your heart is beating or your body temperature. These already give us health advice and goals, and perhaps in future they will be able to identify symptoms of disease or even call an ambulance. Powerful personal computers, like our smartphones, only require simple AI techniques, constantly connected to the internet and linked to wearable devices with a range of physical sensors. Some applications may only need a basic smartphone. Researchers at the University of Oxford believe that changes in people's behaviour recorded by their phone could diagnose dementia, a disease of the brain often affecting old people, long before there are any other signs or a formal diagnosis. The problem is that wearable technology creates a lot of personal data, which can help you, but can also be misused. In 2016, the health insurance company Vitality started offering its customers Apple Watches, then changed their insurance costs depending on how much exercise they took. Automated diagnosis is another exciting AI application we could soon see in healthcare. Machine learning is perfect for understanding data from medical devices. In 2018, DeepMind explained how they were working with London's Moorfields Eye Hospital to develop techniques to automatically identify eye problems. The system used two neural networks. The first trained on about 900 images, showing how a human expert would identify the parts of the image. The second trained on about 15,000 examples for diagnosis. The results were excellent, showing that the system performed at or above the level of human experts. Despite the evidence showing that we can now build systems that can achieve human expert performance in examining medical data, some people think we should be careful about doing so. Real human professionals are still needed to interact with their patients and fully understand their conditions. Another argument against using AI in healthcare is that some people do not trust machines, even though they can make diagnoses that are as good as those of human experts. But even the most experienced humans make mistakes, and we all show bias, and often are not very good at logical decision-making. The challenge in healthcare is not to replace human healthcare workers with AI, but to use it to help them. AI could have the greatest social effect in making expert systems available to people in parts of the world where no healthcare is available. Every year, more than 1 million people die and 50 million are injured in road accidents internationally. AI could greatly reduce this, saving lives through driverless cars. They would also be cheaper, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly. We might not even need to own cars anymore if there were enough cheap driverless taxis around. There is a long history of research in this area, but the technology for driverless cars only really became possible in the 1970s. The challenge was huge, and the key problem was perception. If you could find a way for a car to know precisely where it was and what was around it, then you would have solved the problem of driverless cars. The solution was modern machine learning techniques, without which driverless cars would not be possible. The Prometheus project is widely seen to have led to today's driverless car technology. In 1995, a car drove itself from Munich in Germany to Odense in Denmark and back, with human interventions required on average every 5.5 miles, and the longest distance without human intervention was about 100 miles. This was all the more amazing because of the limited computer power available at the time. Although Prometheus was not a fully finished car, the project signalled that this technology could eventually be sold to the public. Thanks to the 2005 Grand Challenge, a competition for driverless cars held by DARPA, a US military organisation, driverless cars became a solved problem and one of the great technological achievements in human history. This was followed by other challenges, including the 2007 Urban Challenge, when driverless cars had to obey Californian road traffic laws and manage everyday situations like parking, crossings, and traffic. 6 teams successfully completed the challenge, with the winner from Carnegie Mellon University averaging about 14 miles per hour during the 4-hour challenge. Since then, there has been a huge amount of money put into the technology from well-known car companies afraid of being left behind, and from newer companies wanting to take the lead. In 2014, the US Society of Automotive Engineers provided a useful car autonomy classification model, as shown on the following page. Level 0, no autonomy. The car has no automated controls. The driver is in complete control of the car at all times, although the car may warn the driver or give them other data. Most cars on the roads today are level 0. Level 1, driver assistance. The car takes some control from the driver, for example, through an adaptive cruise control system, which can keep the car's speed the same, but the driver must pay complete attention. Level 2, partial automation. The car takes control of how fast and how it moves, although the driver is still expected to continually check the roads and be ready to intervene if necessary. Level 3, conditional automation. The human driver is no longer expected to be continually checking the road, although the car may ask the user to take control if it finds a situation that it cannot manage. Level 4, high automation. The car normally takes control, although the driver can still intervene. Level 5, full automation. The dream of driverless cars. You get in a car, give your destination, and the car does everything. Probably the best driverless car technology you can buy today is Tesla's Autopilot, which is about level 2. A key problem seems to be that drivers trust the available technology too much. At level 0 and level 5, it is clear what is expected of the driver, but between these two levels, it is not clear what drivers must expect to do. An accident in Arizona in March 2018 raised these doubts when a driverless car owned by Uber hit and killed a person. The car was travelling too fast, so by the time the car recognised it needed to stop, it was too late. Although the car's sensors perceived an obstacle, in this case a person in the road, the software seems to have been designed to avoid stopping suddenly. Most importantly, the safety driver in the car appears to have been watching TV on her smartphone and not the road. So a human rather than a technological mistake led to the terrible death of Elaine Hertzberg, which could have been avoided. Given all these facts, we probably will not see totally driverless cars on our streets for another 20 years. The key difficulty is dealing with unexpected events. We can train cars to deal with most routine and expected scenarios, but there are lots of situations which are impossible to predict. A human driver would deal with them through their experience of the world, which driverless cars do not have and will not have in the near future. Another big problem is how to move from mostly human-driven cars on the road through a mixed scenario, some human-driven, some driverless cars, to a completely driverless future. Driverless cars can confuse and frighten the human drivers they share the roads with, while human drivers do not always follow the rules, making it hard for AI software to predict their behaviour and interact with them safely. The solution might be to use the technology in safe areas, without many people, before gradually moving into the wider world. Many industries already use the technology in places such as Western Australia. Factories, ports, and military areas could follow this model in the next few years. Beyond this, low-speed driverless taxis could be used for well-mapped city roads. In fact, several companies are testing such services in a limited way now, with human safety drivers in the cars for emergencies. Finally, we could also keep driverless cars to one lane on roads, helped by sensors and other technology, much as we already have bus and cycle lanes.